Welcome back to Hidden Treasures of the Midrash with Daniel Eisenberg. This shir is dedicated Le'ilei Nishmas, my mother Chayrocha Bas David Tzvi, and Mazel Tov in the completion of Sefer Shemos last week. And now let's begin Sefer Vayikra, and in particular for us, Vayikra Abba. So the Midrash says, this is earlier on, Parsha Aleph Simen Tes, interesting Midrash. Vayikra El Moshe, Hashem called to Moshe, we know at the beginning of the Parsha, that's what the name of the parsha is, name of the sefer, Vayikra. So Hashem calls to Moshe, Ula Adam lo kara, asks in the Midrash. Did Hashem not call out to Adam? V'halo kvar nemar, but doesn't the pasuk say, Vayikra Hashem Elokim el ha-Adam, that Hashem called out in Parshas Bereishis, that Hashem calls out to Adam? So the presumption over here is that this Vayikra is supposed to be some sort of chiddush, right? That there's like some sort of uniqueness right over here, because the question is funny, and we're going to see a couple more of this same type of question, right? Let's continue the midrash, and then we'll go back to the presumption. Ella answers the midrash, rather ein ganai lamelech ledaber im ariso. No, rather it's not the way of a king. Or rather, it's not a ganai for the king. It's not degrading for the king to speak with his ariso, with his sharecropper. I don't know if kings have sharecroppers, they're gardeners, whatever it is. Different types of arrangements. That's not something that is a negative thing. So we have to figure out what the question really is. But let's move on to a similar comment. Then it continues, Vayidaber Hashem Elav, and Hashem spoke to him. He spoke to Moshe again. So then the Mishra again asks, Vim Noach lo diber? Did he not speak with Noach as well? V'halo kvar nemar, doesn't it say in Parshas Noach, Vayidaber Elokim el Noach? Hashem spoke to Noach, so why? What's the uniqueness over here? He also speaks to Noach. Ela in ganai lamelech daber im nakdodo. Rather, it's not a ganai for a person, for a king to speak to his, you know, the person who's in charge of his animals, in charge of his livestock. That's not something that is a ganai. Right. Noach was in charge of his livestock. It was, we see on the Teva. Just going back, Adam was a sharecropper. He was the one who was in charge of taking care of Hashem's garden, the Gan Eden. So it's not weird. It's not strange. It's not degrading for the king to speak to his the person in charge of his animals. Vayikra el Moshe, and then the Midrash then quotes the first person again. Vayikra Moshe, he calls out to Moshe. Ula Avram Lokara, did it not call out to Avram? Did Hashem not also call to Avram? But we know in Parshas, this is in Vayera, Vayikra Malach Hashem el Avraham. And the Malach of Hashem, meaning Hashem through the Malach, called out to Avraham. Ela in ganai lamelech ledaber im pundaki shelo. Rather, it's not a ganai for the king to speak to his pundaki, to his innkeeper. So it's not a ganai. And then the midrash continues a little bit. It's part of the same midrash, so it's really going to be a different pshat. It says Vayikra Moshe Veloka Avraham, that the calling out to it contrasts the Vayikra to Moshe and to the Vayikra to Avraham. That over here mentions it's a malach Vayikra Malach Hashem El Avraham, as opposed to over here Vayikra El Moshe doesn't mention a malach, and that's a different distinction. But that seems to be really a second opinion within this midrash. So let's focus on this first half for a moment. What's this Midrash trying to say? So it seems to be that the Midrash presumes, as I addressed before, alluded to before at least, that the Vayikra and the Vayadaber in this Pasuk of Hashem talking to Moshe is special. And we know that Chazal elsewhere deal with this uniqueness of this calling out, and in particular contrast it from the Vayikar of Hashem on Bilam, that over here there's Vayikra, some sort of summoning, some sort of chiba, some sort of love and appreciation and respect and higher level. And so much so, put on a pedestal almost of this calling out to Moshe, this speaking to Moshe from the Ohel Moed, in the Ohel Moed, so much so that it's strange, because the Midrash says we see other personalities in Tanakh that Hashem also calls out to or speaks to. And out of all the people in Tanakh, it chooses these three predecessors of Moshe, particularly Adam and Noah and Avraham. And the Midrash is saying that these great leaders, Hashem spoke to them. Why? It was just business, right? When a king speaks to somebody, so that's very special, that's very chashuv, if they're not people that he has, you know, business to deal with, right? If they're his sharecropper, like Adam was, or his his the person in charge of his livestock, his shepherd or whatever it is, like Noach was in the Teva, or like most like Avram was his innkeeper, taking because he hosted you know people in his tent. So Hashem has business with them. So of course, Vayikra, Vayidaber, Hashem speaks to them because it's all business. But over here, Moshe is unique because Moshe, this wasn't business. Now, I would have thought really it is business, right? Moshe is the leader of the nation, but seems to be the Midrash understands that no, that this Vayikra and this Vayidaber, and perhaps even the conjunction of them, is an indication that this is much more than just business. This is personal. This is intimate. This is a very, very deep meeting that demonstrates love, and it should be exalted above all the others. And I think that's the simple understanding of what's going on in this Midrash. It's trying to say that there's a special relationship being indicated here that's not business. But just to focus for a couple of moments on the three workers of the king that we mentioned, it's just so interesting that we put these roles, like, you know, the Adam is God's gardener, the king's gardener. And Noach is the zookeeper of the king, and we have Avram is the king's innkeeper. Like I typically, you know, didn't view these personalities in these roles. I mean, obviously, we knew they were associated with, you know, Chesed and taking care of the animals in the Teva and working in the garden. But to see these roles, is there something we can gain from that, a deeper insight? And I think certainly yes. And that's looking a little bit more closely at the progression, I think, of these roles, right? We see going from gardener to, let's say, shepherd to innkeeper, that I think it's building up levels. Adam, if you think about it also, Adam was originally part of the Adama, right? That's what Pasuk says. It's min Adama. He comes from the earth, and that's why he's called Adam. He was originally part of the earth, but Hashem elevates him above the earth, and then he's commanded to work the earth. He was part of the earth and then elevated above it and commanded to work the earth, watch over it, and therefore he was allowed to eat from the fruit of the earth, right? That's the first commandment. The first commandment Adam is given is to eat from all the trees of the garden. And then the second commandment is, right, the limitation of not eating from the Eitz HaDaas. But so that's Adam being part of the land and then lifted above it, given the responsibility to work it, but also the privilege and permission to eat from it. And then if we go, we can go up a level beyond that. So we know that there's animal life, right? Noach is part of the living creatures of the world. Adam, and perhaps all of animals, were elevated above land. And Noach is among the living creatures. But at some point, Noach is elevated above the animals, right? Meaning it's true, yes, there's always a ruach malala, there's always a talking spirit, something unique to man, but we see a very substantial elevation beyond what Adam had over the animals, of Noah over the animals. He was elevated above the animals, even literally, I would actually point out. He was literally elevated above the animals in the Teva. Right, if you notice the disproportion of the filling of the floors of the Teva, so the top floor was eight humans, while the middle floor was all the animals of the world. They could have really evened it out a little bit more, but I think there are a few reasons for this. But one reason I'm going to suggest here is that it's to demonstrate man's superiority and human's difference and superiority over the animals. So now you have Noah, who is literally and therefore also symbolically, spiritually elevated above the animals. And he's not only elevated above the animals in this regard, but he takes care of the animals and ultimately is given the permission to eat them. And right, the aspect he gets on the table, he's told he's allowed to eat animals. He was part of them, was elevated above them, took care of them, and then is allowed to eat them. And if you take it to the next level, so that's Adam, the gardener. That's Noah, the shepherd. And then you take it to the next level, we have Avram, the innkeeper. Because Avram was originally part of the human race. He is a human just like everybody else. Is there a little bit more blessing to him because he comes from Shem? He's definitely not from Chum. Yes, yes. But more or less, the difference between Avram and any other person around him was not really such a stark difference. Maybe a stark difference a little bit, right? Avram was originally part of this human race. But he took care of humans. He took care of humans and hosted them. and then ultimately is going to be elevated above them. And he's going to be the Avamon Goyim, and he's going to be someone who is going to be Klal Yisrael, who are going to be the Mamlechas Kohanim, and a Goy Kadosh, and distinct from all the nations. And ultimately, as Chazal tells us, earning the right to be served by them eventually, and as all the Nevi'im point, or many of the Nevi'im point out, Yeshayahu and others, about in the times of Mashiach, the Umos HaOlam coming and serving Klal Yisrael and supporting them and saying, how can we get involved? How can we help? So that happens because of Avram's elevation, Avram being part of them originally, being elevated and dedicating himself to caring for that, you know, that level of creation and being elevated above ultimately. So this analysis is not really the I don't think the main intent of the Midrash. The main intent of the Midrash is, as we said, to point out the uniqueness of the relationship that Hashem had with Moshe and this communication that he had with Moshe, to show the uniqueness of that. But derech agav, we're able to see these different levels of people who work for God, different layers and levels of people being sharecroppers of God, shepherds of God, innkeepers of God. And this also shows us, I think, you know, maybe someone in our generation can reach the level. Maybe the Gadol HaDor is able to reach a level like Moshe had. Definitely not, you know, Lo Kam Kam Moshe. No one can be exactly like Moshe and Panim upon him talking to Hashem. But someone can have this relationship with Hashem in a very intimate way, in a very personal way. And Halavai, to some degree, everyone is able to have that. But even if we can't get that, an easy access to Hashem, that it's not a gnai for Hashem to talk to us, is if you apply for a job, get a job with him. So you could be his sharecropper, you could be his innkeeper, you could be his zookeeper, whatever it is. But if you're working for Hashem, so then you have access. If you say, okay, I am in this world to do this job for Hashem, I am doing this thing to help Hashem and build Hashem's world, make Hashem's presence more known, get people more involved in this mitzvah or that mitzvah or more Torah or more chesed or whatever it might be. So you are working for God. That gives you access to Hashem uniquely. There's a special relationship that you have as his employee. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be zocha to have that special employee relationship with Hashem, as well as Halavai, the relationship of Moshe, where Hashem is Vayikra Vidaber directly to Moshe on a level, in a very beautiful, deep, meaningful, intimate way.